Yeah. She didn't have to leave.
Did you see this?
Or Sunday, late.
Okay.
What is it, a $200 order?
Yeah. Okay. But you, he, what it sounds like, he said for you to charge extra for.
Okay.
Morning, everybody. It's a beautiful, beautiful day outside. Little bit tricky because you walk out and you think it's going to be 70, but it's not.
It was frosty.
Yes, I heard that once today. Do you have a book? Okay. It's beautiful outside, though. Really beautiful and much better than the rain. How's everybody doing? Good lesson today. Really good lesson. Did you read it? Did you?
Cool. Well, their responsive reading was a lot of it.
Was a lot of it? Oh, good. Then you're warmed up. Tim warmed you up. Okay, before we start, can we have a word of prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, our most gracious Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask that you look down upon our lesson today, that this lesson touches each and every heart, and that each person sitting here gets what they need from your word today, Lord. We ask that you forgive us our sins, and we declare you righteous and our righteousness. In God's holy name, amen.
Amen.
The righteousness of God, huh? Oof. Is there any way that any of us here could be righteous in the eyes of God? Nope. And if God is perfect and sinless and blameless and righteous, this explains how he deals with us who are far from that. Okay, let's get started right off the bat. We're in the book of Romans, and Romans is the what book?
The road to salvation.
The road to salvation. That's right. And so that's what Paul's doing here. He is telling us how to be saved. Okay? Okay, so we're in the book of Romans. We're in the third chapter, verses 21 through 23. Could somebody read that for us, please? No difficult words there. I scan that.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon them that believe. For there is no difference.
Okay. So when we talk about the law in the Old Testament, what was the purpose of the law?
Identify sin.
To identify sin.
Point us to Christ.
To let us know that we are all sinners. And there is no way that we can be justified or blameless in front of God. Just can't happen. We weren't made that way. But the law identifies sin. Think about laws today. The laws that we follow. They identify right and wrong. Good behavior, bad behavior. That's what this was, the law of their lives, how to live.
And when you think about it, add more laws and more laws and more laws to some of these other things. So that just proved to you that you could never be blameless.
It was a never-ending thing.
There was no way to keep up with any of it.
No.
So there was no way.
And we're talking about a time where, you know, perhaps many of the people didn't read. And there weren't just, you know, books they could pick up. And they probably didn't even know some of the laws that were added to. There was just no way. And they were added to the law by men who were doing it to serve their own selves, not God, which is always the case. Okay. Question number two. What is the solution to the human predicament? Now, when I looked at this, the first thing I said, that's a pretty thrown around term, the human predicament, the human condition. So I had to really look this up, and it was fascinating. I like jumped down a rabbit hole with that. What is the human predicament?
Sin.
We're
born into sin.
Okay. We're born into sin.
It's finding righteousness. You can't find
it. And there's no way we can get ourselves out of it. The human predicament is that we are living, curious, thinking beings that live in a world that we cannot change. We strive, we do the, think about your life. You try and do everything to make your life better, but it can't be done. There's only one answer to the human condition. There's only one. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, all the decisions you make, your planning, whatever, we live in a world where you will never be able to pull it all together. There is only one answer to the human condition.
We're in this world.
Correct. Correct. But we are in this world. And we are trying to live in this world. And yet, we can't. We can't fix it.
You know, it's not what we do, it's who we are.
Very much so. And we go on to talk about that quite a bit, don't we? Yes, very much. Works are not what our salvation is based on. Just not. But we're going to talk about that.
And in that predicament, we've got to make the choice.
If we don't, the depression will just eat us alive. I mean, the why am I here, what am I living for question that we, you know, we tried to answer, we can't answer it. Until we make that decision every day to follow Christ. Christ is the reason. There is only one way that we can be made righteous.
Through our faith in Christ.
Exactly. Exactly.
See, we're supposed to be Christ-like as we grow.
Mm-hmm.
But we should live as if we're already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But do we? Can we?
He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us, but we don't pay no attention to him.
There is only one way that we could be made righteous. There is not one man that has ever walked this earth but one that was ever born blameless, lived blameless, and died blameless. There is only one man that followed the law to a T and could be righteous. Only one.
And if you think about that, you know,
exactly.
Everything.
Exactly.
So when we do things out of anger or hurt or whatever, he had those feelings too. But you know, he never just came out and hurt you by saying that.
Yes.
He had a story to tell you. Aaron West, who how you should really feel about things. And he didn't just really come in and say something back. So, you know, Jesus had a way of not sinning, of not
Yes. Clue, if your wife ever walks out to you and says, how do I look in this? Clue, here's the answer. You look wonderful. Wonderful. Don't even try to tell her a parable. Don't even try it.
You gotta be honest.
You look wonderful to me, darling. Okay.
She makes that dress look big.
Don't do that. Listen, guys, Mother's Day is coming. Do not do that. Oh, Lord. Okay, so we have the solution to the human predicament. All right. Let's see, where are we at? I have a hard time keeping up where. What is with what? Okay. Question number four is, what does the word justify mean?
Justify never sinned.
I'm sorry. Say.
Justify never sinned.
You're fine.
Justified just as if I've never sinned.
Just as if I have never sinned. That's a good one, Susie. Pardon me?
Declared righteous.
That's right. And there is only one way we can be declared righteous. There's only one way, and that's for God to declare us righteous. We have never done anything that we could say to ourselves. We'd like to try, wouldn't we? Do we boast?
Sometimes, yes.
Oh, yes.
I did this and I did that.
We're just so proud of ourselves. Yes. But we cannot be justified before God without our faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, verses 24 through 26. Could somebody read those for us? Okay, there is one word there that I struggled with for hours last night. And I walked in here and I said, I don't know how to pronounce this word. And before I even started to tell Tim what word it was, it's propitiation. Okay, I propituated, I propitiated, I everything. But it's propitiation. Okay, so just gloss over, just say justified. Okay, all right. Verses 24 through 26, please. Will somebody read that?
And being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and a justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus.
She didn't even stumble, did she? Didn't even stumble over that word. I was hours trying to sound that word out.
It's because I've heard it a lot in church.
Say it again.
Propitiation.
Okay. All right. What does the word justify mean? What does the word justify mean?
Declared righteous.
It gives us the thought that we are declared righteous by something other than ourselves.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. It's just as you have never sinned. Just as you did.
Will always remember that after today. Justify, just as I never sinned. Okay. That's good. I like that. I've never heard that before. All right. Question number 5. What did the word redemption refer to in Paul's day? I thought this was really interesting. Pardon me?
Setting the slave free.
Setting the slave free. And isn't that what Jesus does for us? We are enslaved by sin. We are enslaved by the human condition. And he sets us free. Big part, the ransom payment. And what does that mean, a ransom payment?
Well, for us, that's the blood he shed on us.
Absolutely.
He was our ransom. He was our sacrifice.
He was our sacrificial payment.
It's a redemption. A ransom can also be looked at as redemption, to redeem something. But is that for ransom?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. You're right. We were held captive. We were enslaved. We had no way of getting to heaven. No way at all. And then Christ, through his crucifixion, paid the ransom, paid the fee it took to have us released and to give us hope.
For our spiritual freedom.
Yep.
Yes. So our righteousness.
Our righteousness is rooted in the blood of Christ. In the blood of Christ.
Well, you know, you earn a lot of coupons.
Yes.
You purchase some kind of an item, and they say
loyalty points.
Give you this coupon.
Yeah.
The coupon is no good until you redeem it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
If you redeem that coupon, you have hold of that gift.
Yes.
So that's what the redemption is. You have claimed the gift.
And we. It just takes faith to do that. And the hard thing, I think, for some people is you can't believe that God did this for you. You can't believe that just cashing in your coupon is all it takes. You know, the most quoted verse in the Bible, what is it? 3:16, right? The most quoted. Now, in terms of this lesson, think of that. For God so loved the world. It's something that even myself, who I'm not good at quoting verses at all, that's one verse I know. But in context of this lesson, it's very clear. It's very clear.
Go ahead with 17. What 17 about?
Right.
Like you say.
Right. That's even actually better. He didn't come here to condemn us. He came here to save us. That's even better. Right? Okay. Let's see. Do we need to read more? Nope. Okay. What image would Paul's language have likely called to mind to his Jewish readers? We were just actually talking about this. The Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. Does anybody know, because I really didn't before this lesson, what the Day of Atonement was to the Jew? It's the holiest of all holy days in the Jewish calendar. And it's called Yom Kippur, okay? And what happens on Yom Kippur? What is that? What does
is that not when they give the sacrifices?
Mm-hmm. Really? Yep. The high priest, nobody's allowed in
the holy place,
right?
The tabernacle.
The tabernacle, thank you. Nobody's allowed in there. So on this day, Yom Kippur, the high priest first sacrifices a bull and takes the blood and offers it for his sins. And then here's what I found really kind of an interesting little side note, because you wonder where we come up with phrases. Then he takes two goats. Okay? He takes one goat and he slaughters it and places the blood on the mercy seat, and also he places it on the second goat. And that is to represent the sins of the people. And then they take the goat and release it in the wilderness, and it is never to come back to town again. Hence the phrase
scapegoat.
Yes. I thought, okay, makes sense to me. Okay, so if you think about what the mercy seat is, and how that was the forgiveness of sins by placing blood on there, God placed his son's blood and made him the mercy seat for our sins. Jesus was the ultimate scapegoat. The ultimate scapegoat for the forgiveness of our sins.
Yeah, one of those days he was in the grave, he took our sins where we'll never know where they're at.
Out in the wilderness. Like the scapegoat, huh?
He laid on the thing.
Yep.
The mercy seat.
The mercy seat.
So he was the real goat, the greatest of all.
Exactly. And they even said that in our book, that he was the real goat, the greatest of all time. Yes. Yes. Just, you know what? If you were not a believer and you would take the Bible and open it up and see how one thousands of years later relates to the other, and what you cannot deny God's plan. You cannot deny that there's not a God and not a plan. And then all you have to do is decide if you want to be part of it. Right?
He knows whether you're going to be part of it.
I hope I surprised him. I do. I guess he knew, but hope I surprised him.
We should never hope we know.
Okay, I know I surprised him. Okay. Number 7. If taken in isolation, verse 25, how could it be misunderstood? Let's read verse 25 again. To declare, go ahead.
As a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins.
God passed over sins? What sins?
The past.
The sin of those that were before.
Yes. The believers.
The ones that were running by the law.
Right. Like Moses, Abraham, the prophets, the big dudes of the Old Testament, right? They are no different than we are. They sinned. There's plenty. David, a man after God's own heart, right? He sinned. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Somehow, God had to justify them. Somehow, his ransom had to be paid. So Christ's death, his ransom extended to the olden days.
It said it extended back the same as it extended back.
Yes, yes.
So it was in the future and in the past.
So isn't that omniscience? He's everywhere, future and past.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. That's mind-blowing. Okay.
And when you think about it, then redemption really did redeem even more, because these were people that were lived their life and
died.
And died, yeah. So that redemption really
extended, yes.
Yeah, they really truly were redeemed also. In a
Do you think that that redemption extended to Adam and Eve?
Sure.
Yeah, had you.
All the way back that far?
Yeah, had you. Yeah.
Okay, will somebody read the last several verses for us? No big words there.
Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? Do we then take void the law through faith? God forbid. Yay.
I essentially really caught on to verse 27 about the boasting. Can we boast about our salvation?
No. We've done nothing. None of us.
Not Billy Graham. Not nobody. So you are, when you look at people like Billy Graham and people that you, Tim, that you respect and hold as very holy people, they are on the same level as you were. Samey. They cannot, not even Abraham can boast of his salvation.
Only God gets the glory. It was his free gift.
What a gift it was. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Okay. So like question number 10 was, why is boasting excluded? Because we have done nothing. We have done nothing. One of the things in my book, it says as the application, to do good works, not as a means to earn our salvation, but as a means to demonstrate our faith. When you are saved, and it, you know, there's just that glow, that afterglow, that, oh my gosh, this awesome thing has just happened to me. That's where the works kick in. Because you realize and know in your heart what has been done for you, and you want to demonstrate how awesome and great this is. And even now, years after we've been saved, doesn't it make us feel so good to do good works, to help other people? It just does. It's almost hypocritical, because it's not, it makes you feel so good, you just want to do it anyway. You just want to keep doing it. But we're doing it to declare God. Right? This is what we believe, and this is why we act this way. This is why the human condition is solved for us.
As all good things come from Christ.
Yes, all good things.
All thoughts and all works, they all come from Christ.
And it can be, it's just the littlest stuff. It is your daily life. It is smiling at somebody and saying hello when you can just see they need that, right? It's buying a child a candy bar when you realize that mom doesn't have the money, okay? It's little stuff. It's stuff that nobody knows except you and God.
And God lets us recognize those things. Unbelievers, a lot of times, their eyes are not open to stuff like
that. But where does that affect you at? It affects your heart.
Yes.
It affects your heart. When you just smile, and when somebody needs a smile, or just say a good word, or, I don't know, loan them $1 million, whatever it is. Can we talk? Whatever it is, it's for the joy, and that proves who you follow.
And it brings God the glory.
Yes. Because you're recognized as a Christian. Let's be recognized for being soft and giving and loving to our fellow humanity, our fellow man, as opposed
to selfishness,
to selfish, egocentric people.
Yes.
The opposite of Christ is egocentric. Mm-hmm. The opposite of Christ is me. Right?
Yeah. And And all this God working through us and our spiritual maturity and more obedience.
Absolutely.
And just keep growing through all this.
The more you see what God has for you, the more faith you have in Him, the more hard times you go through and find out who pulled you through by the skin of your teeth, the more faith you have in God.
What stands in
my way all the time is, I know. God has been faithful to me a bazillion times in my life. I know that. But the devil stands in my way, and the devil is a liar, and he tells me, this is the one time God's not coming.
That's when God speaks to your conscience, lets you know.
Yes. Yes. And so what happens when the devil tells you he's not coming this time? What do we do?
I say that all the time.
Get behind me, Satan.
Yes.
Pick up the book.
Yes.
Pick up the book. Look at what he has done for the people in that book. Do you not think he would do that for you? Pick up the book.
I mean, it was a promise.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm telling you, when I'm scared, like a little baby, I go run into my Father. I go run into that book, just like a little baby. Just leave me alone. Let me sit down and read.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, I had an opportunity. I said, I've been wanting to call you and talk to you. Why you want to talk to me? I said, I can't go to church and fall down on everybody.
I thought about what you said to him. You said, I went and it didn't fall down on anybody.
Yeah.
And you were alongside of him when he was being a rough, tough individual.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you tell him, yeah, it was your
decision. And you leave it at the door.
Yes.
But it's so hard to believe.
Yeah.
It's so hard to believe. But the church didn't fall down when you walked in. It didn't fall down when I walked in.
You might have cracked a little bit.
When who walked in? You or me? That's what people just you have such a hard time believing. And I was thinking about this morning, sitting out in the parking lot, that once you walk in there, It's all out here in the parking lot. It's gone. Once you are saved and once you believe, the only person that remembers your sin is you and the devil, because the devil will like to bring it up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? There's God doesn't remember it. Christ doesn't remember it. The saints don't. The angels, they don't remember your sins. Once you're saved, Christ's blood blotted that out.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. Once you're saved.
Yes.
The only people that remember those sins are you and the devil when he's telling you about them.
God's blood is like paint. When he painted it all over the top of it.
And red paint covers everything, doesn't it? It does. Red paint covers everything. Try to cover red paint. Right? God's blood covers your sins. Blots it out. And nobody remembers it except for the devil and you. It's not Christ. So, when you come through those doors, you come through those doors righteous.
With a white robe.
With a white robe on.
Absolutely.
You know, false. We're still good Christians hanging together. But we lost a hope for a leader.
We're kind of trodden around in the wilderness, weren't we?
A leader. And God put us a leader.
Amen.
I just can't believe it.
And more importantly, all of us sitting in it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the new family and friends that we have. Come on in.
But God looks down upon us all as one.
Exactly. Is any one person better than the other. Nobody is a better sinner than the other, right? There's no degrees on that. Okay?
Who do we judge? Ourselves. That's all.
No, we don't like to do that. We like to judge everybody else. And then we say to ourselves, I'm not as bad as that. But that's not it. God judges us all equally. That is not how God rolls. A sin is a sin. And no one sinner is better than the other. So, there you are.
You know, a good church, he tells us, is a church all as one.
In one accord,
and
yes.
I feel that here. I really feel that here.
In both churches. Oh, this is one church. Very much one church. And we thank you so much for allowing us to become part of your family. But we needed that. We needed it so bad. This is one church. We may meet in different buildings at different times, but it is definitely of one accord.
It is one family.
Yep.
And I
love it.
That family, it's just more of a blessing.
You're like my big Italian family. There's a bunch of different ones, but we're all together. Okay, can we... Do we want to do the... Yes.
There's your golden text. Therefore, we conclude by faith apart from the deeds of the law.
What we do has nothing to do with our salvation. What we do is because of our salvation, not for our salvation.
Don't forget the bell.
She did.
I did it.
Okay.
Thank you.
We should read the Old Testament and always look for ways it points to the New
Testament. And I'm like really bad about reading the Old Testament. I kind of want to get to the good parts where Christ is. I'm bad about reading the Old Testament. But through this lesson, I've learned all the similarities and how the Old Testament points to the New Testament. The Old Testament and the New Testament together again shows us that miracle, that how anybody could not think that there is a God. It's just such a miracle, and it explains that. Okay, number two.
We all must put our faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes. Yes. Because what? Nothing we did had anything to do with our salvation.
Right. No boasting.
No boasting here.
We must never put any hope in our own works.
All people must be saved through faith. Though we are saved by grace, we still must obey God. Is that it?
It was a great lesson.
It was a great lesson. I hope, and I was so excited reading it. I hope that I did a good enough job, because as soon as I sat down up here, I thought, uh-oh, I'm lost. And I knew so much about what I was going to say, and it just didn't hit me. So I hope it was good for you all.
We did great. We did. God's word is our instruction for our life while we're on this earth.
I always worry that there's one person that needs to hear one thing that I'm going to say, and I don't say it. That's what I worry about. You're right. God's word is infallible. It's perfect. Okay. Oh, up my old bones.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for nation better too. The emblems of our nation, they stand for all that's true. So keep us guides the fly and the red, the white, the blue.
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word.
Make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path.
Its words will I hide in my heart, that I may not sin against God.
B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, B-I-B-L-E.
Good morning.
We're going to stand and have a song this morning.
What about 34?
34.
I haven't done that one for a while.